Hello, everyone. Welcome to this second webinar about the IANA Stewardship Transition Proposal Call for Public Comment. My name is Alyssa Cooper, and I'm the chair of the IANA Stewardship Transition Coordination Group, also known as the ICG. Presenting here with me today will be two ICG vice chairs, Patrick Fallstrom and Mohammed El-Bashir. This webinar is being recorded, and the chat sessions are being archived, so please keep that in mind. There's live streaming audio in all six UN languages and Portuguese. And for the details about that, there's a link provided in the Adobe Connect session information window. We're going to begin with about 45 minutes of presentation material, followed by 45 minutes of question and answer. We ask that you please reserve your questions for the Q&A portion. If you are dialed into the audio line, your microphones will be muted during the presentation portion. When we do get to the Q&A, we will accept questions either by audio or questions that are written into the chat, if they're prefaced by the word question. The instructions are in the Adobe Connect session information window as well as in the chat, but we'll go over them again when we get to the end of the presentation material. And with that, I think we are ready to start. So what we're going to go over today is first a very high-level overview of IANA and the IANA stewardship transition. Then I will turn it over to my vice chairs, who will go through parts of the transition proposal. We will talk about the questions that the ICG has put out to the public for public comment, how to submit comments, and then we'll have the Q&A. So to begin at the beginning, we would like to chat just for a minute about what the IANA functions actually are for folks who may not be familiar with the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority, also known as IANA. The technical functioning of the Internet relies on databases, which in our world are more often known as registries, of unique numbers and names that all computers use to connect to each other online. So when your computer connects to the Internet, when you surf the web, when you send email, the software on your computer is using these numbers and names to communicate with other computers that are also connected to the Internet. There are three main categories of these registries. The first is domain names, otherwise known as names. The second one is numbers, and the third one is protocol parameters. And we're going to talk more about what each of these registries actually contain later in the presentation. The act of administering these registries is what is known as performing the IANA functions. So when we talk about performing the IANA functions, we're really talking about a management task, a clerical task, in short. Setting the policy for what values go into these registries, essentially deciding what goes into these registries, is not part of the IANA functions. That is outside the scope of what IANA does. Now, to understand the context for the transition, we need to understand what the current oversight model looks like and where it came from. So if we go back in time to 1998, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, also known as ICANN, was established to maintain the IANA registries under contract with the U.S. government. So there's a department within ICANN that is called the IANA Department, and the people who work in that department maintain the registries. The government agency within the U.S. government that holds that contract is called the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, otherwise known as NTIA, and it is a part of the U.S. Department of Commerce. So NTIA maintains this contract with ICANN and conducts oversight over ICANN, and IANA sits within ICANN, the nonprofit corporation. NTIA's role historically has been one of stewardship. It is largely symbolic. NTIA does not have any operational role and does not initiate changes to any of the registries that IANA actually manages. So if we fast forward up to 2014, what happened last year is that NTIA announced the transition of its stewardship role to the global multi-stakeholder community. NTIA at that time asked ICANN to convene a process to develop a transition proposal. And in making the announcement, NTIA established a number of criteria and expectations regarding the transition. The criteria were that the transition proposal must support and enhance the multi-stakeholder model, maintain the security, stability, and resiliency of the Internet Domain Name System, also known as the DNS, meet the needs and expectations of the global customers and partners of the IANA services, and maintain the openness of the Internet. Furthermore, NTIA explained that the transition proposal must have broad community support and must not replace NTIA's role with a government-led or intergovernmental organization solution. So those were the framing pieces for the transition proposal, and in all the work that has gone on to develop the proposal that we're going to talk about here today, those criteria and expectations have been in the minds of the people developing the transition proposal. So looking at the timeline since the announcement, that happened in March of 2014. Shortly afterward, following an ICANN-initiated consultation, the IANA Stewardship Transition Coordination Group, also known as the ICG, was formed. The ICG is comprised of 30 members and two liaisons who represent a broad array of stakeholders. These include stakeholders from what we have called the operational communities, that is, the communities of interest that surround the names registries, the numbers registries, and the protocol parameters registries. The ICG also includes broader stakeholders from business, government, user communities, and others. In September of last year, the ICG issued a request for proposal to the operational communities, and the transition proposal that we're going to be talking about today combines these three proposals that the ICG received from each one. So we're going to go through each one in turn, but this is an important structural feature of the combined transition proposal. The public comment period that launched on July 31st is focused on the proposal as a whole. Each of the community proposals has already been subject to extensive public scrutiny. So there have been many, many meetings, mailing list discussions, multiple public comment periods, hundreds of conference calls to discuss the details of each of the component proposals. As a result, the public comment period that we're having now is really focused on how these components fit together. Do they work in combination, and do they meet the NTIA criteria? Suggestions for substantive modifications arising from the public comment period will be referred back to the operational communities. The ICG will not be editing the proposals. That is the responsibility of the operational communities. So issues that have already been discussed in the operational communities will not be relitigated or reopened as part of this process. And we'll provide more detail on the specific questions about which we're seeking public comment at the end of the presentation. And with that, I'll turn it over to Patrick Falstrom, who's going to talk about the names proposal.
Thank you very much, Alyssa. So if we look at the names proposal, which is delivered by one of the three operational communities, we start, I can start by looking at what and trying to explain what the IANA functions are related to names. The domain name system consists of two things. We have the namespace management itself, and then also operational issues related to the use of the domain name system. The IANA functions touches both of these, but the most well-known one has to do with management of the so-called root zone and the management of the top-level domains. And on the slide here, you see three examples of top-level domains from which then various domain names are delegated. Most of the changes that and actions that IANA do is on direct request from members of the names community. For example, changes of the operator of a top-level domain, change of contact information, change of the technical configuration, for example, information on what name servers manage and respond to authoritatively to queries about the TLD, and other kind of information regarding the domain name itself, for example, where the WHOIS server is for that TLD. So change request goes to IANA, and IANA then updates the various tables and databases it manages. Some examples of the changes that, or the things that IANA is managing has to do with changes in the root zone itself, for example, name server records. It might be changes to the WHOIS database for TLDs, for example, contact information for a TLD. It is also related to delegation and redelegation of a TLD itself, if it is the case that the registry or the administrative organization of the TLD changes. But it's also some operational issues related to the root zone, for example, key management of for DNSSEC, the electronic signing of the information in the DNS itself. IANA also manages a repository of practices for international domain names. So two TLDs that uses that accepts registration in the same language can use similar policies. So there is a repository that IANA has for that. There are also some other root zone-related activities that IANA is taking care of that are of course, very, very important, but these are the things that are most well-known. If we look at the overarching issue for the proposal itself, if we look at the actual oversight, and on these pictures here, you don't see any information on the actual operational sort of activities. We only talk about the accountability to make the pictures a little bit more simple. Today, on the left side, we see that IANA do have a contract with ICANN, and that stipulates how the oversight is to be made. So NTIA do have oversight over ICANN as the IANA functions operator. And then inside ICANN, there is a specific group called the IANA that do all of these actions that is stipulated in the contract and elsewhere. So when parties want to have IANA do certain things, they contact the IANA function inside ICANN, and the IANA function is on this picture exemplified by the small box in the down right corner of the ICANN box. After the transition, when the contract with NTIA is going away and because of that the oversight, you see the proposal to the right where we have ICANN that is legally separated from the post-transition IANA, that is, or called PTI, where PTI is the one that is the entity taking over the IANA, all the IANA functions. There's a contract between ICANN and PTI explains what PTI is to do. PTI itself do have a board. The customers to IANA do contact IANA or contact PTI to have the IANA actions taken care of. And then you have also the ability to, then we will have a look a little bit on the oversight functions in the form of IFR, CSC, and also various different kind of appeals mechanisms, and I will go through them a little bit more in detail later. If we start to look at the PTI, the entity that is separated from ICANN, that is, its mission is to perform all the existing pre-transition IANA functions. So the idea here is that PTI is taking over everything that IANA is doing today. It has a contract with ICANN. The next body that is kind of that is important is the Customer Standing Committee, which is ensuring that the performance of the IANA naming functions continues to be of a satisfactory level. It is looking at the various actions that IANA is doing and overlooking that IANA is doing the right thing. It is a standing committee from customers of IANA. There is also a separate entity called IFR, IANA Function Review, which is established to provide periodic review of the PTI's performance and ensures the accountability and quality of service. So the IFR is overlooking the actual relationship between ICANN and PTI to ensure that everything is handled in a way that is acceptable. There is also a special IFR that has the ability and power to, in the case of separation, complete separation of the IANA function from ICANN. In that case, IFR is also taking care of those actions. All of this is, of course, dependent on quite a lot of accountability issues and oversight. And there is a special cross-constituency working group inside ICANN that works on accountability. And so there is a dependency between this proposal and the outcome of the CCWG accountability. And here you see a few of those requirements and ideas that is to be coordinated between the CWG proposal that we are looking at here and also the work that is going on in parallel with what the ICG is doing in the CCWG accountability. If we look at a few of these kind of things, we look at, for example, some changes of ICANN bylaws, empowerment of this special IFR to be able to kick off a separation process. There is also an appeals mechanism that is also quite important. For example, like the independent, for example, in the form of an independent review panel for issues related to the IANA functions. So for example, direct customers with non-remediated issues or matters referred to by CCNSO or GNSO after escalation can have access to an independent review panel. So there are a lot of these accountability mechanisms that need to be resolved, that there is a dependency from the CWG proposal to the CCWG. And I think... And I think that is everything from the names proposal. My browser, unfortunately, is beachballing, so I cannot change the slides there. Thank you. So if you look at the CCWG together with the CWG proposal and dependencies, the way this is managed is that we do have now a public comment period both for the ICG, which is the reason why we have the webinar now, and then we also have in parallel the CCWG do have an open consultation for their proposal. So there is an ability for reviewers and people that are looking at both of these to make sure that their comments are synchronized, to make sure that everything is that things are taken care of in a coordinated way. And so it's possible to comment on both of these at the same time. And with that, I'm handing over to my fellow chairs to present the numbers proposal. Thank you.
Mohammed, do we have you on audio?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So I will go through the numbers community proposal. And basically, NTIA have an important functions to to be done to the community. And basically, it's the allocation of blocks of IP addresses or Internet Protocol addresses and autonomous system numbers to the regional Internet registries, which is our the five global regional Internet registries. And there is also the registration of such allocations in the IANA number registries, which is public. And there is also other related important management tasks and administration of special DNS domains that's performed by the IANA to the RIRs. So going through an overview of the numbers proposals, currently the five regional Internet registries, which is RIN for North America, and LACNIC for Latin and South America, and YPNCC for Europe and some part of the Middle East, AFRINIC for the African continent, and LACNIC for APNIC, sorry, for Asia Pacific, and those currently have services levels and agreements with IANA. There's an oversight from NTIA on the contract and with ICANN. So the RIRs have expressed their satisfaction with the current performance of the IANA function, and they don't think that the current function should be taken away from ICANN, and they express their desire for the stability, and they don't propose any operational changes. But they outlined important three factors in their proposal, which is basically the first one is IANA, ICANN to continue to be the home of the IANA function, and they want the relationship between them and that IANA function to be based on service level agreements. And the second important factor is the intellectual property related to provision of IANA services to be with the community. And thirdly, they did propose a review committee, which have representatives from each RIR community or the regional internet communities. Now, that should be formed, and that should be look at the performance of IANA against the service levels. So if you look to the right side, you can see the post-transition proposals, and you can see the RIRs having a service level agreements relationship with IANA, which is within ICANN, and they monitor that service level agreements through a committee that they have, a review committee. On the next slide, we can see here the review committee, which is basically representatives of the regional internet registries. They provide advice to the RIRs, and they monitor the performance of the IANA functions through the services that's presented to the numbers community. They did outline important principles for the service level agreement within with ICANN and IANA, which is basically they are looking for a separation from the operational side and the policy development that should be separated, and the agreement should have a clear description of the service being provided by the RIRs, and there is it should have an obligation for reporting. And those reports should be public and transparent, and there should be accountability. And as well, maintaining security is also important to the RIRs. They also indicated that the SLA should have a review of the operations of the IANA function, and if there is any failure in performance, there should be terms and conditions for terminations, and insurance of the continuity of the operations. Also, they indicated that intellectual property rights and rights over data need to be very clearly outlined in the SLAs and agreement with ICANN. And resolution as well of disputes need to be as well as part of the SLA and clear clauses for fees or any financial arrangements need to be outlined. So regarding the intellectual property, the RIS proposals have set some expectations and also they have indicated clear preferences. So for the expectation, they indicated that the number of resources registered should be public and available to the public. And there is public information, which is could be available, which is currently available by ANA. But for the non-public information, that should be, which is managed by the ANA operator, that should be available and easy to be transferable to any successor of the ANA function if that happened. The rights for the non-public information should be transferred to the RIRs. The preference of the numbers community regarding the ANA trademark and the ANA website, ANA.org, that it should be transferred to the IATF trust. And all relevant parties agree that those should be the expectations for the transition. And the public database related to the performance of the IANA should be also publicly and available online. With that, I hand over to Alisa to continue to the protocol parameters.
Thank you, Mohammed. So here we are on the third component of the transition proposal. I'm going to talk about the protocol parameters, but to understand the protocol parameters, we need to talk a little bit about protocols themselves. So protocols are standardized patterns of communication that computers use on the Internet to be able to talk to each other. So perhaps the most famous ones are HTTP and IP. These are ways that devices can use so that they can communicate. And when we set out to design protocols, we often end up needing protocol parameters, which are numbers or values that need to be chosen and published so that two separate computers using a protocol can communicate and understand each other. And to illustrate by way of example, if you've ever visited a website and received an error that says 404 not found, 404 is a protocol parameter for the HTTP protocol. It's a number that needed to be chosen so that independent computers and software running on the Internet would be able to understand, oh, this is an error. Or on the web side would be able to say, I know that I need to send an error. What number should I send? Oh, I'll send a 404. So that's just an example of a protocol parameter. Many of the most important protocols that make the Internet work were developed by the Internet Engineering Task Force, the IETF. And so the IETF is considered as the operational community of relevance for the protocol parameters. The IETF protocol parameters are maintained in registries on the web, on the IANA website, and there are more than 10,000 protocol parameter registries that contain hundreds of thousands of parameters. And just one important distinction about the protocol parameters is that they are not referenced in real time from the IANA website. When they're referenced, is when software is being developed. So as an implementer of software, I might go to the IANA website to determine which number or value I need to code into my application so that it will work properly when I use it on the Internet. So that's just a high-level overview of what do we mean when we say protocol parameter. If we look at the current situation, in terms of the oversight of the protocol parameters function, again, it's helpful to go back in time. So the IETF has had an agreement with ICANN that goes back more than 15 years, and that agreement is known as the Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU. And that MOU governs the relationship between the IETF and IANA. There's a leadership body associated with the IETF known as the Internet Architecture Board, or IAB. And the IAB provides oversight over that MOU and ensures that the relationship between the IETF and IANA remains healthy. In addition to the MOU, the IETF and IANA agree on a regularly updated basis to service-level agreements that establish the performance targets for IANA. So there's a day-to-day evaluation of how IANA is performing and whether it is meeting the targets set out in the SLAs. So that's the current oversight regime. You'll see that also in the current regime, the NTIA contract provides the oversight directly over ICANN itself, but NTIA has no real operational role when it comes to the protocol parameters. And so as we look towards the transition proposal and what the oversight regime would look like in the post-transition phase, you see that not much has changed. The only thing that has changed in the diagram is that the NTIA is no longer in the picture. And that is the thrust of the IETF proposal, which is that no new organizations or structures are required. Over the years since the creation of ICANN, the IETF, ICANN, and the IAB have together created a system of agreements, policies, and oversight mechanisms that already cover what is needed in this space. And the system has worked well without any operational involvement from NTIA. So what the IETF has said is that the IANA Protocol Parameters Registry's updates will continue to function day to day as they have been doing for many, many years. And the IETF community is very satisfied with the current arrangement with ICANN. So not really any changes here. However, in the absence of the NTIA contract going forward, the IETF has stated that a few new arrangements may be needed in order to ensure that the IETF community's expectations are met. The first of those expectations is that the protocol parameters registries are in the public domain, and the IETF community has said has stated its preference that all of the relevant parties acknowledge that fact. Secondly, it's possible that in the future, the operation of the protocol parameters registries may be transitioned from ICANN to a subsequent operator. And the IETF has stated a preference that as part of the transition, ICANN should acknowledge that it will carry out some of the obligations that are defined in the existing contract with NTIA that relate to achieving a smooth transition to subsequent operators should the need arise. So essentially, the IETF's expectation is that the parties involved will work together with subsequent operators to minimize disruption in the use of the protocol parameters registries and other resources associated with IANA in the event that at some point in the future, a different operator is chosen to run the protocol parameters registries, a different operator from ICANN. So that is a summary of the protocol parameters proposal, and I will turn it back to Mohammed to provide the visual summary.
Yes, thank you, Alyssa. This slide basically summarizes in a visual way the combined proposals, the final proposal, and the elements of the three operational communities. So on the top, you can see the numbers community proposal. So basically, which is the RIRs having a service level agreement with ICANN and the review committee from the RIRs giving the advice to the numbers community regarding the performance of the IANA functions. And on the left side, you have the IETF, the protocol parameters community relationship with ICANN post the transition. So there is the Internet Architecture Board having an oversight on the MOU between the IETF and ICANN, which it will be annually reviewed based on the performance matrix set. And on the right-hand downside, there is the numbers community proposal, which is basically it have more changes than the two other operational communities proposals in terms of the legal separation of a new post-IANA transition body that will manage the IANA function. The numbers community will be reviewing the performance of the IANA function basically by a customer standing committee. It have different level of escalation of service issues and complaints. First level is to the PTI, and the second level is to the customer standing committee. And the numbers community as well, proposal have the IANA functions review committee, which is review the performance of the IANA functions. So visually, this slide will give you an idea about the interaction and relationship between the three communities and the future IANA function operation within ICANN. For the next slides, I will be reviewing and giving you an update about the questions we put forward, the ICG put forward for comments for the combined proposal. So the focus is where really we'll be appreciating that if you focus and provide us a feedback on the proposal as a whole. And we provide a set of questions to guide this input to us. So the first thing is we need to know from you is, do you see the proposal, the combined proposal, as complete? And does the operational community's proposals work together in a single proposal as proposed by the ICG? And do you think that the community proposals have appropriate accountability mechanisms following IANA function, especially post the transition, which is an important task, the accountability and transparency of the function in the future? Do you see any issues of workability between the proposals? Is there any conflicts or concerns you have in the final combined proposal? We would like also, if you can provide us your feedback and comments on the proposal regarding the NTIA criteria. NTIA, in its initial announcement in April last year, has provided a set of criteria which we will like to follow. So do you believe, for example, the proposal, the combined proposals, support and enhance a multi-stakeholder model, which is very important for the future of the Internet? And do you believe that there's any issues regarding security and stability and resilience of the DNS, which is very critical for the ICG? Please identify those if you have any comments about that. And do you see the proposal is meeting the expectations of the global Internet community, customers, global customers of the DNS, and partners of the IANA services? And here where we would like you to outline any shortcomings, any expectations, and provide us guidance, really. After that, we also would like you to express your opinions regarding the combined proposal support the openness of the Internet, which is a core value we would like to maintain post the transition. And if there is any concerns regarding replacing NTIA stewardship role with a government later intergovernmental organization. And lastly, do you believe that the implementation of the proposal will continue to uphold the NTIA criteria for the future, which is basically the criteria set by the NTIA on the start of the transition? So we urge you really to review the proposal and provide us your feedback, because your feedback is very important in this process, either supporting the proposal or give us your comments and feedback and arguments. We did start the comments period on July 31st, and it will end up in September 8th. You can review and submit comments through our public comments website, which is comments.ianfg.org. And if you have any questions or you would like to submit also your comments, you can send it to questions-cig@ianfg.org. With that, I will hand it over to Alisa for the Q&A session.
Thank you, Mohammed. Just one note, we just realized that the email address on this slide is actually incorrect. It has a typo, so we will get it fixed in the deck that we publish, but the email address is actually questions-icg@ianacg.org. So questions-icg. Apologies for that, and we will get it corrected. And our Jennifer has also posted it correctly into the chat window, so that everyone knows if you have a question, that's where you should direct it to. Also, just one more quick note on the comment submission. There are two options for how to submit comments, either via a web form, which is located at the website listed on the slide, or via email. For either option, when submitting your comment, you will receive a confirmation email, and you must click on the confirmation link in the email to have your comment posted to the public archive. So that's just a note about how we are filtering spam out of the comments. I think we are just about ready to proceed to the Q&A. I just want to reemphasize one of the points that Mohammed made, which is that when submitting public comments, it's equally as important from the ICG perspective to hear from people who support the proposal as it is to hear from people who have concerns about it. So if you're thinking about submitting public comments and you feel generally supportive of the proposal, don't let that stop you from telling the ICG your opinion. We definitely need to hear from people who support and not just those who have concerns or questions. And with that, I think we are ready to turn to the Q&A portion of the webinar. For Q&A, we will be accepting questions either via audio or in the chat. So if you'd like to speak your question, you can raise your hand in the Adobe Connect room by using the raise hand feature at the top of the Adobe Connect window. And the other option is you can post your question into the chat. Please preface any question that you want to have answered with the word question, preferably in capital letters, so we are sure that we can see it. We will go back and forth between questions from the chat and questions from the audio if we have both. Participants who are dialed into other language phone bridges other than English can make audible interventions. You can ask a question in your own language on your language line, and it will be interpreted on the English line, and then we'll answer it and it will be interpreted back to you. And please state your name when submitting a question. So with that, I think we are ready to begin the Q&A portion, and please go ahead and raise your hand or submit your question into the chat. And I see that we have a question from, I guess just one more note I should have said before starting is that we have a number of other ICG members who are here with us in the webinar, and so we will be pitching questions to them as appropriate as they come in. So the first question is from Jian Chang. Did the ICG find any incompatibility and even contradicting points when combining the three proposals? Thank you for that question. That is a very good question, and compatibility was one of the items that we looked at when reviewing the three proposals together. As far as compatibility goes, we did identify one issue where we felt that there was a potential for incompatibility between the proposals, and that related to the IANA trademarks and the IANA.org domain name. The numbers proposal detailed specific requirements related to this intellectual property, whereas the other two proposals were silent on this issue. And so as the ICG, we inquired with all of the communities to confirm that indeed their proposals were not actually incompatible because there was a specific set of requirements set out by one community and no particular requirements set out by the other communities. And they did confirm that, in fact, that there was not any incompatibility between the proposals. However, the operational communities are in the process of coordinating to ensure that they are all on board with the same proposal, because as it stands right now, because there was only requirements set forth from the numbers community, those are the requirements that the proposal now puts forth. So there is ongoing coordination on that point, but from a proposal standpoint, we believe that the proposals are all compatible with each other. Anyone else from the ICG want to speak to that point? Please go ahead right now. Okay. Not hearing anyone. So I think we can go to our next question, which is from Zheng Li. Go ahead, Zheng Li. Zhengbai, if you're speaking, we cannot hear you. We are working to enable your microphone right now. While we wait for that, there are any other questions, feel free to raise your hand in Adobe Connect or write your question into the chat. Any other questions while we work out the audio issues? Okay, I see that we have a question from Julie Z. The question is, thank you for such a detailed introduction. Just want to make sure, what does the IANA mean inside the ICANN box in the number and protocol parameter proposal diagrams? does it mean another IANA team, or does that mean the PTI? Thank you, Julie, for your question. I'm just going to go back to this combined picture. So if we look at this picture, which I think is the one that's most useful for understanding how the functions come together, indeed, what the proposal puts forth is that all of the IANA functions would reside within the PTI, the PTI being the subsidiary of ICANN. The ITF and the RARs would maintain their relationship with ICANN, and so they would view the actual administration of the functions by the PTI as ICANN's choice to subcontract that work out to its subsidiary, which I think is why you, in the other diagrams, you see IANA as the sub-box, because the numbers and protocol parameters communities continue to refer to them as the IANA functions, and they would be located wherever ICANN so chose, in this case, subcontracted out to the PTI as ICANN's affiliate. Anyone else from the ICG want to add on? Alan, Barrett, do you have anything to add there, or do you think I covered it?
Hi, this is Alan Barrett. I think you covered it, Alyssa, but maybe I'll add something. When the CRISP proposal was written, the concept of PTI did not yet exist. So the CRISP proposal talks about the IANA function being inside ICANN. When we put that together with all the other proposals, especially the proposal from the CWD, it turned out that this entity called PTI is going to be created. So from the perspective of the RIRs, I think we don't care whether or not ICANN creates a PTI, but from the perspective of the transition as a whole, ICANN will be creating a PTI, and PTI will fulfill the role which appears as that little box in the diagram of the numbers proposal.
Thank you, Alan. So the next question is from Vizvak. Will the proposed changes to the process of administration of the Internet affect end users in any perceptible manner? If yes, specify what kind of changes they can expect. Thank you for the question. I will say that it is my sincere hope that this process will result in no perceptible changes whatsoever. The IANA registries and the administration of them has been working quite smoothly. What we are talking about in this transition is changes to the oversight mechanisms for IANA, and not really any substantive change to the operational aspects of IANA. To the extent that there are operational changes that will take place, the proposal has, I think, gone to great lengths to try to minimize the change and ensure that there continues to be a stable and secure and resilient provision of functions. So if we succeed in this transition, my hope is that Internet users will not notice any changes whatsoever. Anyone else from the ICG want to comment on that? Okay, we'll go to one more question from the chat, and then we'll switch back to the audio. It's a question from Padmini. Do the different oversight bodies, IFRs, IAB, have an entirely independent constitution from ICANN or the IETF? So this is a good question, and I think actually the way to answer this question depends on which body we are talking about. for example, the Internet Architecture Board is constituted entirely outside of ICANN. It has a strong relationship with ICANN. It makes appointments to ICANN's board, but the appointments that get made to the IAB itself occur within the IETF community. And so that's kind of how I would describe it for the Internet Architecture Board. But the answer would be different for the different bodies. Perhaps I can get, let's see, who do we have on the call with us? Perhaps I could get Patrick to talk about how that would work in the NAMES community and the relationship to between the IFR and ICANN.
Thank you very much. So the IFR and the IANA the IANA functions review is empowered to conduct periodic and special reviews of the IANA functions, and this is something that is specified more in the NAMES proposal itself, and in the actual ICG proposal. It is specified also a little bit more in the Annex F. The IFR and the special IFR will be incorporated into the informational commitments that mandates and reviews set forth by the ICANN bylaws. So that is how the community can oversee the relationship between ICANN and IFR. I hope that helped answering the question a little bit more.
Thank you, Patrick. So let's try to switch to an audio question. I think we have Zheng Lei back on audio. Zheng Lei, go ahead. I'm still not getting audio from Zheng Lei, and I see that the question has been put into the chat. So we will take it that way, since we're having trouble with the audio, it seems. So the question in the chat from Zheng Lei: what are the main body of global stakeholders should be to achieve the maximum fairness? Thank you for the question. I'm not sure that I fully understand it necessarily, but I think you know, we've had questions in the past about the breadth of stakeholders who are concerned or you know, whose interests are at issue in the transition. And there have been a lot of different kinds of stakeholders who have already participated in the operational community processes. So one of the questions we've had is, you know, why are we putting the proposal out for public comment if there has already been such intense participation from a variety of stakeholders? And I think the answer to that is that we actually do want to have as broad of input into the transition proposal process as possible. And so part of the reason we are putting the proposal out for public comment now is to try and hear from some stakeholders who have not necessarily been involved in the operational community processes. This is an opportunity to receive input from the wider community who may not have been following along with all of the details previously. So we are going for breadth in terms of the input into the public comment period. I hope that answered your question. If it didn't, then please maybe reformulate or add on another question, and we can try to get back to that. So moving on to the next question from Shailesh. I will not try to pronounce Shailesh's last name for fear of bungling it. So Shailesh asks, how is PTI different from the current IANA, and any details how the PTI board would be constituted? So perhaps I can have one of our ICG members speak to this question. Can I ask Keith Davidson to answer this question? Keith, are you on the call? Do we have audio from Keith? Okay, that looks like we are still having the audio issue. Could we try perhaps Russ Mundy to get audio? I'd really like to have participation from the other ICG members, so if we can get people's mics enabled, that would be excellent. Do we have audio from either Keith or Russ Mundy? Okay. Well, maybe while we're working on the audio for those folks, I can answer the first part of the question, and then hopefully by the time I'm done doing that, we will have audio for one of the NAMES community participants. So the first part of the question was, how is the PTI different from IANA? And I think as a practical matter, the composition of the PTI in terms of the staffing and the data and the resources involved is the same as IANA. So the proposal is to actually take the IANA department that currently sits within ICANN and just have it transferred to the PTI. So operationally, the expectation is that there will not be a change in terms of staffing and so forth. The way in which it is different is that it is a subsidiary of ICANN, so it will no longer be a department internal to ICANN, but would actually be a legally separate entity that is an affiliate of ICANN. And that has implications. Obviously, it would have its own board. It would have separate budgeting and so forth. So that's the first part of the question. Do we think we have anyone on the audio side in ICD land who can speak to the second part of the question?
Yeah, this is Patrick Feldstrom. I can answer the board issue. So the PTI, as just like you pointed out, being a separate legal entity, it will have a board of directors and have the minimum statutory required responsibilities and powers. The construction of the board would be a range of 3 to 5 people appointed by ICANN, which is the owner and the controller of the all PTI. The board could be, for example, could have 3 directors employed by ICANN or the PTI, and then 2 additional directors which are independent and nominated, for example, using the ICANN nomination committee. This is something that is it's supposed to be very lightweight and avoid the need to replicate any kind of complexity that the multi-stakeholder ICANN board have. And we should remember also, it's also pointed out that, of course, the IFR is the external body that is overlooking the relationship between PTI and ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. So let us move on to the next question, which is from Tijani Benjama. The question is, do the CRISP and the IETF accept that there is legal separation between ICANN and PTI and the separability proposed by the CWG? Perhaps I can provide an answer from an IETF point of view and then turn back to Alan for a CRISP point of view. So from the IETF's perspective, again, IETF intends to maintain its present arrangements with ICANN and views the subcontracting to the PTI as a choice on ICANN's part as to how the functions will be carried out. So in a sense, the IETF leaves it up to ICANN how the protocol parameters functions will be conducted. And should they choose to move them to the PTI, then that is acceptable as long as the requirements are from the MOU are met and the SLA performance targets are also met. Alan, do you want to speak to the numbers proposal?
Thanks, Alyssa. This is Alan Barrett. So from the RIR's perspective, we intend to enter into a contract, also known as an SLA, with ICANN, and we will allow ICANN to subcontract the actual operations to PTI, but the responsibility for ensuring that the terms and conditions are met will be governed by a contract that we have with ICANN directly. So I hope that answers the question. We have no objection to ICANN spinning off a PTI subsidiary, but we don't intend to deal with it directly in terms of contract. Thanks.
Thank you, Alan. The next question is from Boo Young Kim. Question is, just for clarification, who does the IETF sign up for MOU with, ICANN or PTI? Who do the RIR sign up for SLA with, ICANN or PTI? Currently, IETF and RIRs are having MOU with ICANN as the IANA function operator. Does it mean new MOU and SLA should be with PTI as IFO or ICANN? Thank you. So this is essentially the question that we just answered, I think. So hopefully that is understood, that the IETF and RIRs will continue or create their new arrangements with ICANN, and it's up to ICANN to subcontract out the work to the PTI. So hopefully that is clear now. Thank you for your question. The next question is from Mr. Madaboro. The question is, can you please elaborate more on ownership of the IANA trademark and domain be transferred to the IETF trust in slide 23? And again, here I will turn it over to Alan. There's a lot of questions about the numbers proposal today, it seems, Alan. So if you're willing to elaborate on the provision of the numbers proposal, please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Alyssa. This is Alan Barrett again. So the CRISP team, in writing the numbers proposal, said that the IANA IPR, that is the trademark and the domain name, and there might be some others, should be held by an entity which is independent of the IANA functions operator. So today we see ICANN as the IANA functions operator, and I think in the future we would also see ICANN or perhaps PTI as the IANA functions operator. Even if PTI is seen as the operator, ICANN is not independent from PTI. So leaving those trademarks with and other intellectual property with ICANN would, I think, not satisfy the terms of the CRISP proposal, which said that it should be held by an independent organization. The IETF Trust was just a suggestion of an appropriate independent organization. We're open to the idea of putting it somewhere else instead. And this is just one of the open items that still have to be agreed between all the operational communities. And there are some informal talks going on to discuss how to deal with the trademarks. So what ends up happening is not yet clear. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it. Let's go back. So the next question is from Zhang Lei. Now the United States exerts too much control and influence on the Internet, so how to transfer the IANA stewardship transition could achieve the maximum fair. Jean-Jacques, do you want to speak to this question?
Sure. Thank you, Alyssa. Hello, Zhang Lei. I'll try to answer that question if I understood it correctly, and it is linked to your previous question, I think. Well, two comments. The first is, when you say about the current authority which oversees the IANA function, in other words, TIA, which is part of the U.S. government, you say there is too much. I think this can be explained by historical reasons, because the Internet was created to a large extent in the United States, and it started off on that basis. So what we see today is the continuation of a situation which can very well be explained for historic reasons. Now, your second part of the question is about transition of the IANA stewardship. How can that be done in the fairest way? And I think you're mentioning or thinking about government roles, and in that sense I would say two or three things. The first is that the ICG, you may have noticed, is composed also of some members of the GAC, the Government Advisory Committee, in which governments are represented more and more, in fact. And in the case of China, for instance, there is a member, one of our colleagues, who is from China. There was one from Japan, etc., etc. So I think that's one way of ensuring some representation. And the other way of doing it is, of course, that in the future, for the post-IANA structures, it will be interesting to see who presents what candidates for things such as the PTI board, the post-transition IANA board, amongst the members who can be nominated in that way, and in all the oversight functions, which would then by then be relinquished by the NTIA. So in brief, my reply is, yes, there is a historical situation which one understands, and second, things are changing, and I think it's in that context that the ICG proposal, which is made up of proposals by the communities, has its importance, because it is one of the elements which may make the Internet more international. Thank you.
It's Mohammed here. Thank you, Jean-Jacques. I would like just to add one thing. The multi-stakeholder model is a model that could ensure the maximum fairness, as Zeng Li have indicated in his question about the fairness, because the different stakeholders, whether governments or private sector or internet users or registrars or others, they all at the equal level, and they all participate in this process in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohammed and Jean-Jacques, for your answers. Much appreciated. The next question is from VizVac. The question is the PTI only accountable to RARs and ICANNs, or does its geographical location in the U.S. open it up to interference from governmental bodies? I was wondering perhaps if Lynn St. Amour might be able to answer that question. Lynn, do you have audio?
Hello? Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead, Lynn.
Okay. And sorry, could you repeat the question again? My computer crashed for a moment. So.
Yes, the question is the PTI only accountable to the RARs and ICANN, or does its geographical location in the U.S. open it up to interference from governmental bodies?
Well, I mean, putting the ANA function responsibility in the PTI doesn't change the other governance structures that have had relationships with it in the past. So governments or the GATT through ICANN will still express their concerns or any considerations in roughly the same manner as we do today. So that doesn't impact that. For the IETF and the numbers community, their intent is that they would continue to interact with ICANN as the contract holder with respect to performance level issues or concerns, but the day-to-day operations, of course, would happen with the IANA staff, which would be resident in the PPI.
Thank you, Lynn. Daniel Karenberg, did you want to add on anything? We don't have audio from Daniel. Okay. Or Jean-Jacques, is that a hand raised to add on an answer to this question?
Yes, Alicia, this is Jean-Jacques. Thank you. I think that the question being posed is about jurisdiction at a further level after escalation in case things processes. Then there is a question of legal jurisdiction, and the question is therefore under which set of laws does it come, as in the one above the legal terms remains that of ICANN, meaning under California law. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Russ Mundy, did you have more to add? Or Lynn?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on a related point, which Zhang Li had said earlier, and I think it's important that, you know, this is well understood. Is it, at one level, there's not a lot that's changing with the U.S. government's oversight role going away. Much of the oversight that the world actually cares about actually happens in the three operating communities. And most of those processes stay the same in terms of openness, inclusiveness, outreach, consensus models. And that's where the really robust participation should take place, whether it's, you know, support for or developing new policies or trying to, you know, engage or improve current policies. So, you know, I sometimes think the whole question of jurisdiction doesn't actually take into account the real facts on the ground about the operations and the various roles in each one of the three operating communities. And, you know, for years, we've struggled with how to make that more clear. There are three operating communities. There are a minimum of three roles, policy oversight and then implementation. And I think what we all care about is the policy and the oversight. That takes place in those communities with their own processes that focus on accessibility and openness and fairness and equal voices, sometimes labeled multi-stakeholderism. But if people really do have concerns about the processes or want to influence them, it's back in those operating communities at the time of the policy processes. I guess, I mean, I hope that was helpful in terms of adding a little bit more background or context.
Thanks, Lynn. I think it was, and I appreciate your additional intervention. Very helpful. So let's take the next question, which is from Tijani Benjama. The question is, so I understand from your answer that you, protocols and numbers, don't mind that PTI may be structurally separated from ICANN since this option is envisaged by the CWG. I think so. So this is just a confirmation from our earlier discussion. I think it is correct that the protocols and numbers communities don't mind the legal separation that is put forth by the CWG. I think that is correct. So thank you for confirming. The next question, unless I don't see anybody else jumping in on that one. That's one that we've discussed before. So the next question is from Alain Bidron. Question is, will the SLA between the RIRs and ICANN be one single agreement or five individual agreements, one per RIR with identical content? Alain Barrett, would you like to answer that?
Sure, this is Alain Barrett. The idea is that there will be a single agreement which will be signed on the one hand by ICANN, on the other hand by the five RIRs. So six signatories altogether to a single agreement. And a draft of the SLA has been published, I think, yesterday. It might have been earlier today. If you go to the nro.net website, the very first news item is a call for comments on the draft SLA, so you can read it there.
Thank you, Alan. That, I think, brings us to the end of our question queue. We do have a few minutes left. So if there are other questions, please write them in the chat or raise your hand. See if we have any final questions before we close. We see a few people typing, so we'll just give people a moment in case there's any further questions. Okay, I see a new question in the chat. Question is from Aisha Hemrajani. Question is, has there been any pros, cons, risk analysis done on the transfer of the IANA trademark to the IETF Trust? I can give a little bit of a background from the IETF side, and then again, I might ask Alan to give the numbers community perspective. So from the IETF point of view, the ICG inquired with the IETF about its willingness to support the proposal that came out of the numbers community, and that included an analysis by the IETF Trust itself of whether it was willing and able to hold the marks and the domain name. And the IETF Trust has confirmed that they are willing and able to do that. So there has been some analysis done on that side. The IETF community also discussed this topic at length in developing its transition proposal, and again, did not have a particular position articulated in its own proposal, but afterward determined that it is willing to support the IETF Trust in holding the mark. And that's not I should say it's not that wasn't necessarily a pro forma conclusion, because the IETF Trust is a limited number of trustees and they have other responsibilities. And so they did have to make a considered determination of whether this was a responsibility that the trust itself was willing to take on and the community was willing to support. And both of those answers were in the affirmative. Alan, can you speak to this from the numbers point of view in terms of the analysis that was done?
Sure, this is Alan Barrett again. So the CWG contracted a law firm to do an analysis that was published in the past few days, I think, or might have been last week. The RIRs have not formally responded to that analysis, but I think we might. I don't know that I can give much more detail than that. I think all I can say for now is that the RIRs see no difficulty, but clearly some other parts of the community do see a difficulty. It's something we're going to have to discuss and work out.
I guess, Alan, perhaps if you could speak to the analysis that went into the formulation of the numbers position, that's actually more what I was thinking of, to the extent that you, in the numbers community,
Okay, I can give some background on that. The IANA IPR, in our view, speaking as a member of the numbers community, and I was a member of the CRISP team at the time, although I'm no longer, was that the IANA trademark and the IANA domain name should be associated with all of the IANA functions, that is, names, numbers, and protocol parameters jointly, and not with only some subset of the IANA functions. And because different operational communities might be able to move the operator away from ICANN in the future, we felt it useful to make sure that the intellectual property was held by an independent organization that was not associated certainly not with the numbering services operator, and preferably also not with the operators of any other parts of the IANA functions. This is partly to ensure to facilitate the transition to another operator if that's ever necessary in the future. And for the time being, we're very happy with ICANN as the IANA functions operator. But the possibility does exist that in some distant future, something goes wrong and people want to move the function away from ICANN. And at that time, we felt it would be useful if the intellectual property was held in some neutral place. And we believe that the IETF Trust is a suitable neutral place, partly because the IETF is the origin of the whole concept of an IANA, and part because the IETF Trust has a history of being able to look after intellectual property related to internet trademarks. They have the IETF trademark and I think a few others. So is that what you were looking for, Alyssa?
Thank you. Yes, it was. Thank you. Thank you, Alan. I think as Alan noted and as has been noted in the chat, there is a legal analysis that has been produced by the law firm that the names community has been consulting with in developing its transition proposal, and that has just been published a few days ago. And the other operational communities, as well as the names community, are still evaluating that analysis. So there's more discussion ongoing as regards to the IANA intellectual property issues. We have hit the end of our allotted time. I think we had one more question that came in before the time ran out, and so I think we should take the one final question from Tijani. But otherwise, I think we will need to wrap at the end of Tijani's question. And hopefully our tech folks and interpreters are able to stay on for just a couple of more minutes so that we can finish that last question that came in before the 90-minute mark. So the question from Tijani Benjama is as follows. Sorry, the CWG proposes not only legal separation, but a full separation in case the names community finds it necessary. Is this okay for the numbers and protocol communities? Thank you, Tijani. I apparently misunderstood your prior question. And I think what I would say, and then again can open up to anyone else from the ICG, is that actually each of the communities has the feature that you are referencing, which is that each of the communities independently has established as part of its accountability mechanisms the ability to switch to a different IANA function operator should the need arise. And so it's contemplated not only in the CWG portion of the proposal, but also in the others. And these are kind of independent, I would say, accountability mechanisms that each of the communities has built in to their proposal. And so I don't think it's necessarily explicit in the proposal itself, but the fact that, each community feels empowered to separate, I think, means that, should a separation occur, they are certainly, willing to account for that in their set of accountability mechanisms because they've established that right for themselves, each of them. So hopefully that gets more to the question that you were answering, that you were looking for an answer for. I think at this point we need to close because the interpreters have concluded and already run 5 minutes over on their time. So thank you to everyone for joining the webinar. The transcript and the audio recording, I'm sorry, not the transcript, but the chat transcript and the audio recording will be available on the ICG website. And please do submit your public comments in the public comment period before September 8th. Thanks, everyone, and thank you to all the ICG members who joined and answered questions. And thank you to all the people who posed the questions. Very good session.